Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, and we'll be reading the verses 57 through 80. And if you want to follow along in your outline on the insert in your bulletin, there's one side that has an outline, and on the opposite side has the scripture reading from Luke 1, verses 57 through 80. We have begun a new series this year on the Gospel of Luke. Today we find ourselves at the end of chapter 1. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted to be called, him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and have the hand of all who hate us, to show that the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit. He was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 1. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in our text today, we read that Zechariah asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. All the people wondered and were filled with fear and spoke of these things in the hill country of Judea. Why did the people wonder? Why were the people filled with the fear of God? What was it that caused them to talk about these things in the hill country of Judea? For that, I went to some of the commentators who have written about this text. Some of the commentators tell us that the reason the people were filled with fear is because Zechariah and Elizabeth happened to come up with the same name. After all, Zechariah has not been able to speak for some 9 months, and now they have to make signs to him just to communicate with him at all. So they say that the relatives and friends who are there to support Elizabeth, Elizabeth who has given birth well past the age of childbearing, they are so thankful that she now has a son to carry on the family name. Yet, even though they can't communicate, they are able to come up with the same name, the name John, name which is not a family name, but one that somehow they came up with together. I think we could say this morning that that's perhaps part of the reason why people were filled with fear and wondered about these things. But a second commentator has another opinion. His view is to say that the people were filled with fear and wonder because of the miraculous way that Zechariah's tongue is loosened. Here's a man who's not been able to speak for some 9 months. He came out of the temple, wasn't able to speak anymore, and all of a sudden his tongue is restored and he begins to praise God with his voice. What an amazing thing this must have been to know what he was like before and then all of a sudden to see him praising God. He must have seemed like a completely different person. Thus, the people, they say, were filled with wonder and fear and spoke of these things throughout the hill country of Judea. Well, again, there's a lot of truth to that particular view, but again, that is still only part of it. Part of what the Lord wants us to know. There is more here in this text for us to understand. Let us look then at the structure and the flow of our text. The first part of this story is an expansive structure. That means it has a particular two-part flow to it, and the two-part flow indicates that the first information is expanded upon in the second information. You can see it by the repeated vocabulary in verse 58. In verse 58, we read that the neighbors and the relatives heard. In verse 66 of our text, we read that those in the hill country heard. The same Greek word is repeated. Something has happened, an event has happened, and the neighbors and relatives have heard, and then all have heard. Preceding the phrase, all have heard, or the neighbors and the relatives have heard, is a time event that takes place in this particular structure. In verse 57, we have the first time event, and that time event is the birth of John. In verse 57, we read, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her." The time event being that John the Baptist is finally born. And the reason the neighbors and the relatives are rejoicing is because Elizabeth and Zechariah have been barren. That far beyond the age of childbearing, they now are having a long-awaited and long prayed for son. And the relatives and friends have gathered around rejoicing because now there is a male heir that will continue on the family line, that will continue on the family work that God had given them to continue as priests, as Old Testament priests. A son is born to carry on the priesthood and the work that would take place, just as we see laid out for the Levites in the books of the Old Testament. So the neighbors and friends are there to rejoice at the birth. But as we come to the second time event, you will notice that in the second time event, it is expansive to what has already been shared. They come in verse 59 on the eighth day, and they came to circumcise the child. The second time event is the time of circumcision. And you notice the Old Testament practice is being carefully followed. From the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, we have read how Zechariah and Elizabeth were faithful to the Lord and to his commands and his statutes and his requirements in all that they did and how they lived their lives. And now as they come to the eighth day, the day prescribed in the Old Testament for the time of circumcision, they are ready to go on the eighth day to have their son baptized. To have their son circumcised. But now as they come to the circumcision time, we see that there comes the time for the naming. And the relatives and friends that have gathered have a certain thing in mind when it comes to the naming. It said in the next verse that follows, verse 59, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. Of course he would be called Zechariah, especially for a son who is born such as this, a Zechariah who carries on the name of his father, a son who is born as his mother and father are past the age of childbearing, a name, a family name, a father's name to carry on the work of the father. But his mother answers in verse 60, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by that name. Again, you can see the thinking of those that have gathered. They're thinking Old Testament. They're thinking the carrying on of the work of the priesthood. They're thinking of a name like Zechariah, the father's name, or a name like a relative's name that would carry on that Old Testament work, that Old Testament priesthood work. So they go to the father. And they say to him in verse, or they make signs to him in verse 62, inquiring what he wanted the child to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. Again, as you begin in the first part of the structure, we have the birth of the son. And following the birth of the son is the circumcision time event. And the relatives and friends who are there present to rejoice for a blessing that has come to Zechariah and Elizabeth now are being challenged and pushed in the naming of the son, in the naming of the son to think differently. Now keep in mind what has taken place. In Luke chapter 1, it begins at the temple in Jerusalem. We're told that Zechariah and Elizabeth are faithful to the Old Testament laws, to the Old Testament statutes in their serving and worshiping the Lord according to that Old Testament way that God has prescribed. Zechariah the priest goes into the temple to offer the sacrifice when he sees the angel of God sitting there, and he tells Zechariah that he and his wife in their old age are going to have a son. And when Zechariah doesn't believe it, the angel, he is not able to speak. And coming out of the temple, he is unable to speak to the people. God took away his speech because he did not believe what was told to him about his son and the role that the son was about to play in a transition that God was about to bring about. In the Old Testament, the priest sacrificed the lamb and the other animals to commemorate the deliverance of the Lord, looking back to the Old Testament deliverance from Egypt. But this son is not born to carry on the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament priesthood as before. This son was born to bring about a change that takes place between Old Testament anticipation and New Testament realization. When Zechariah first hears about this change to take place from the angel, he does not believe. He does not understand it. But now he understands that the Old Testament way of worshiping God with its anticipation is over. That the temple worship is over. That the animal sacrifices is over. Those are to be no more. And the new fulfilled era of redemption is about to begin. And so when he took out the tablet, and he wrote the name, his name is John, on the tablet, he demonstrated that he now believed what the angel had told him. The angel had told him the child's name would be John. John, which means God's gift. And having come to believe, his tongue is now loosed, and he spoke concerning the blessing of God. This is what the verse tells us in verse 64. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke concerning the blessing of God. When the people hear Zechariah speak, they are filled with fear, we're told in the next verse. Fear came upon all their neighbors. All these things were talked about in the hill country of Judea. But then as they ask that last question in the next verse, that question sets for us what they're thinking and the transition that God is about to bring. Their question is, what then will this child be? You see, they are thinking a name like Zechariah, a name like one of the relatives, a name like that will continue the continuation of the Old Testament way. If that is not what this child is, or this child is to do, what then will this child be? And so when they ask that question, we know that they fear, not just because Zechariah and Elizabeth have somehow, even though Zechariah can't talk, come up with the same name. We also recognize that they do not fear because simply these couple was old and they had a child beyond the age of childbearing, and Zechariah was not able to speak for 9 months, and suddenly he speaks again. But there's more to their reason for fear and wonder. Their main reason for fear and wonder of God is because of what Zechariah said. You notice that when Zechariah's tongue is loosed, in verse 64, we're told that he spoke blessing God. The song that follows in the text is the song of Zechariah, a song which begins with the same word, blessed be the God of Israel. The song which is called in the New Testament era, the Benedictus, the Latin word for blessed. A song of blessing unto God, a blessing unto God for the break in the chain that is taking place. God has given a son to Zechariah and Elizabeth who will point the way to the fulfillment of the Old Testament system. Anticipation leads and brings us to New Testament realization. And that is what we see in the words of the song. What did Zechariah say that left the people in fear and wonder? Let's look carefully together at the words of the song. Now, if you recognize the key to understanding a song such as this, you want to find some of the repeated vocabulary which will help us understand and see and know the key themes. As we look at the repeated vocabulary in the verses that follow from Zechariah's song, you recognize that there is one word that is repeated three times. You may want to pull out a pen and circle those places in the text where that repetition takes place. In verse 69, we read, "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us." That's the word that's repeated three times, the word salvation. You see it also in verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies. You see it also in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. The focus of this song is salvation. Salvation that has come from God, a word that is repeated three times in the course of the song. But not only is the word salvation repeated three times, but there is a synonym to the word salvation that is also repeated, three different synonyms that are repeated three times. The second line of verse 68 reads, "For he has visited and redeemed his people." Redeemed is a synonym to the word salvation. God has redeemed, God has saved his people. Another synonym is found in verse 74, "That we being delivered from the hand of our enemies," being saved, being delivered, God is going to save his people from the hands of their enemies. And the third place we see a synonym is at the second part of verse 77, "to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins." The forgiveness of their sins, the saving them from their sins. And this is the reason that Zechariah blesses and gives praise to God. You see, Zechariah understands what is taking place. God's salvation has come. Salvation which includes being redeemed as the people of God. Salvation which includes being delivered from the hands of our enemies. But the people who were gathered around the Israelites, as they heard these words, when they thought of God's deliverance from their enemies, they thought of earthly deliverance from Rome. But the third synonym helps us to see that Zechariah understands it's much greater than that. This is deliverance which includes the forgiveness of their sins against God. But the Old Testament was about salvation as well. As the people looked to the temple, as they witnessed the priests going in and bringing the sacrifices, that too was about salvation. So what is different about what Zechariah proclaims in his song, a song which is themed and based on God's salvation? As you look at the structure of the song, you can see that it's divided up into two particular parts. The first part includes verses 68 through 75. The second part, verses 76 through 79. In these two parts, there are two different focuses of those two parts. The first part describes salvation fulfilled. The second part, 76 through 79, describes the role that Zechariah's son will play in that salvation fulfilled. As you look at the first verses of this song, verses 68 through 75, you can find within those verses three Old Testament figures that point to the fulfilled salvation that is about to come. The first Old Testament figure is found in verse 69, "and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Zechariah is speaking about a horn of salvation, the strength of God. The horn of salvation represented the strength of God. In the Old Testament, the people thought about the King David that God had sent, David who had conquered Goliath, David who was filled with the Spirit of God, and of which the women had sang, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." David equipped with the Spirit of God, leading the people of God against the enemies, the Philistines, and so many others, conquering the land of Israel on behalf of God's people. A king is coming. A king that will have the power of God and the strength of God, as they saw in the Old Testament under David. A king more powerful than David, the gospel writer of Luke will tell us. We also see verse 70, another Old Testament connection. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." The prophets of the Old Testament, Zechariah has come to realize, were speaking of this day, this era of realization. When the prophets wrote about the coming of the Lord. They wrote about this day, Zechariah is telling us. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Jonah and all of the Old Testament prophets were speaking of the coming of the Lord. When Isaiah wrote of the suffering servant, he wrote about this day, about the coming of the Lord. When the other prophets spoke of the coming of the Lord, they emphasized this day, this Son of God that was to come. And then verse 73, a third Old Testament name, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Father Abraham, the founder of the Jewish people, the man who was called out of the land of Ur to be a sojourner in the book of Genesis. Father Abraham, who was promised that God would give him as many descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, the father of the Jewish people whom God had promised the land in which they lived. These promises are coming to fulfillment. These promises are coming to realization in what Zechariah has witnessed and seen in the temple. And so what role then will Zechariah's son John play in this transition process? What will be his role in what God is about to do? Look at verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. The angel has told him that the prophet that is born, his son, will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will be the last of the Old Testament prophets. And as the last of the Old Testament prophets, what will be his role? For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. Zechariah's son, his son, which has been born as his wife and he are well past the age of childbearing, his role will be to direct the people of God to the son that will be born to Mary, to the Lord himself, to the Son of God, to Jesus Christ, who will go and bring about in all of its fullness the salvation of God. From the promise given to Adam and Eve about the seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent, this is the fullness of God's redemptive plan from the very beginning of the world and the fall of man. God's Son, Jesus Christ, will prepare, will come to bring that salvation. And John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, will direct the people of God unto him. Look further as he goes on to describe it. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. Knowledge of a salvation that they hadn't yet known or thought of. Knowledge of salvation fulfilled from the Old Testament. A knowledge of salvation in what? Verse 77, in the forgiveness of their sins. This salvation is not about an earthly deliverance from an earthly enemy. It is a salvation, a spiritual salvation, that leads to a greater world, to eternity itself. In verse 78, then, Zechariah goes on to describe it, because the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. One of my favorite times to attend prayer meeting on Saturday morning at Sovereign Grace OPC is in the month of January. The last two Saturdays, coming across the hill, looking over the Oak Harbor City, coming there by the corner of Swantown and Highway 20, you see an orange ball coming up, along with the mountain peaks that are covered beautifully with snow. a new day is about to dawn, and you can see the light in the distance and the beauty of what that new day is about to bring. That is what is being described in this verse concerning the coming of this new day in the New Testament era, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from where? From on high. This transition child will be the one that God has sent from on high. God has sent this child, John the Baptist, to direct God's people to another child. This time, he will come exactly from on high. The people are asking, what then will this child be? He is not just the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He is God's transition prophet, a transition prophet of the ages. And in a previous sermon, we looked at another song, the song that Mary sings, a song in which Mary sings about the salvation that has come, a song in which Mary sings about a reversal that has come, a reversal that has taken place in her own life and in the lives of God's people, a reversal from a humble estate as a sinner to an exalted state that will take place through the work of her son. And the song of Zechariah also has a reversal, but a reversal that has a different theme. The role of Zechariah's blessing and benedictus is a blessing to praise God for his salvation, for a transition that is taking place between the testaments. But it is also a transition that is described concerning the one who will bring about that transition and reversal. For when Zechariah writes that this son will be as the sunrise and shall visit us from on high, he is describing what is going to take place when someone greater than John the Baptist is going to come. Zechariah and Elizabeth have talked with Mary. Mary has told them in that visit about her son. Elizabeth has felt the baby in her womb leap at the sound of the voice of Mary and the presence of the unborn son in her womb. A son which is born of God and born of Mary. Both God and man have come to earth. The ontological realm has entered the historical realm. The eternal realm has come to the temporal world. The Creator has come to the creation. And he has come to reverse what's wrong, that his people are sinners and need a salvation. A salvation from their sins paid for from a valuable enough sacrifice, a sacrifice that is God and man, Jesus Christ. And in that reversal, he will unite again those who are human and sinners and transform them from the historical to the ontological realm, to bring them from the temporal world to an eternal world, to take them as creatures and bring them to the Creator. This is described in the last verse, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The coming of our Savior, to which John will point the New Testament people and all of God's people is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To those who live in darkness and sin, to those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death, he gives light to sinners. The light like the sunrise, a light of salvation that guides our feet into the way of peace and into the place of peace, which is in the presence of God himself in all eternity. Why did the people fear and wonder? They certainly were amazed that all of a sudden Elizabeth and Zechariah wanted to name their child John, even though Zechariah couldn't speak. They certainly were amazed that somehow Zechariah all of a sudden starts speaking after having never said a thing for 9 months. But even more than that, they were amazed and wondered and feared God over the words that Zechariah spoke, over what God was about to do, not only in the transition of the testaments, the old era, the temple era, it's over, but also in the Son of God from on high coming to earth to save his people and to bring God's people into his realm for all eternity. That's why the people feared God and discussed these things in the hill country of Judea. These things should cause you to fear God and discuss these things in your home and wherever you dwell here on this earth. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the words of Zechariah, the words which remind us of the great salvation that has come, a transition era between Old Testament and New, a time of anticipation now having come to its fullness, Lord, in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are amazed and fear and filled with fear and wonder at the knowledge that the Son of God came to earth, that he is who is from the eternal realm, entered this temporal realm, came to this world in time and space history, that lived among us, that walked among us. Lord, we rejoice in his going to the cross so that our sins could be paid for before you, so that though we are sinners and guilty sinners, we can know that there is the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection from the life, from death, that we, Lord, can know that even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of the shadow of death, there is life and there is peace that you have for your people who know him, who love him, and who live for him. Father, may the song of Zechariah be our song. May we each day see the sunrise that has come, a light from on high, because the Son of God has come from that realm to visit us. May we, Lord, live with the knowledge that each day we live for you with our sins washed away and forgiven. May we, Lord, give praise and blessing to you for all that you have accomplished for us. Pray all these things in Jesus' name.